the epistle appointed to be read for this, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God! How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him that recompense should be made him? From whom, him, and through him, and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world." Thus for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first of all this morning, before I forget, all those who are ministers in the procession next Sunday after Mass this morning, please, all of you, congregate outside someplace visible, and Father Francis will be there and direct who goes where. Thursday of this week is Corpus Christi, and I will say something about that in just a moment. But in addition to the regular 6 o'clock Mass come Thursday, there will also be an 8 o'clock Mass. It's not in the bulletin, we overlooked it, and there will be an 8 o'clock Mass Thursday morning in honor of the body of Christ. This morning is God's feast day. Of course, every day is God's feast day, but today is particularly so. And we celebrate God today in a very special way. And liturgically, today is the end of the season. The season of Christ, we should say. You can call it the Easter season if you wish, but it is the end of the cycle liturgy, liturgically, of Christ. It begins with the first Sunday of Advent, and it carries us through Easter and everything, and today Christ is back, certainly in heaven, after his ascension and after the coming of the Holy Ghost. Christ, God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, is in heaven. It's a wonderful day. It's really an important day. We try in our church to give indication of the mood that we should all be in on such occasions as we celebrate from time to time. Today the altar is not all a blaze of beauty and its beautifulness, majestic or whatever, but it's not a blaze with beauty. God is the center today. Not that he is not the center at other times. But we wanted to show not quite so much on the altar today as for next Sunday. Next Sunday, the altar will be ablaze. My beloved people, I won't talk long this morning. I will keep my eye on the clock, and I have been warned not to talk long this morning. My beloved people, the reason why we are doing this, is there anybody in here who doubts or does not have information concerning the unbelievable sacrilege that today is being heaped upon our most blessed Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the blessed Eucharist? It is trampled upon by the dirty feet of men. It is cursed. It is taken home, and heaven knows what happens after it gets there. It is being sent out by mail. And anything you can think of is taking place with the Most Blessed Sacrament. The only thing that I want us to do is, on that day, may I put it bluntly, I don't care how much trouble it is, do something important to show our Blessed Lord in the Blessed Sacrament that you love him. And whereas he is even in the trash dumps of the world in the Blessed Sacrament, in the sewers of the world in the Blessed Sacrament, can we say that he is not being sent to the sewer? Next Sunday, I want this church to be a majestic house for fitting for him. And I want you to be here. I want you to be here and to give him glory. Do not look upon this as just simply a moving, emotional affair. Because if you do, we will turn that into something that gives pleasure, self-serving pleasure to me, to each individual, if that's what we're here for. Next Sunday, my beloved people, is not for you, nor for me. It's for Jesus Christ. And you give him everything that you can. It is a day of faith. Unfortunately, there are those from place to place that go through all these ceremonies, and faith, for some reason, does not touch them. In order to see that next week, my beloved people, please pray. Pray. Pray that Almighty God will give you and give me the gift of faith. Faith is a gift. It is earned by the proper, the correct, and the God-intended disposition of the interior self. If the interior self is out of order, if the interior self is interested in self, my beloved people, then is there any wonder that faith is weak? This is what we must go after. In the first page of today's bulletin is a prayer. I would like very much for you not just to read this as you would a piece of literature. It is not literature. It's a prayer. It's a very serious prayer. A prayer for these, our days. And I want you to pray it. Not once, but many times. I do not wish that you should make it a prayer that you add to your list already of prayers that you say and pray each day. It's not a prayer really to be said each day, but on special occasions when you speak directly to God Himself and you remind Almighty God to make haste to come to our assistance. We are in desperate times, and you hear this from week to week. And we have our children to think of. If these times are desperate for us, what in the world kind of situation are we generating for our little children? So, please read that care first of all carefully. Know what you are saying before you start saying it. And then close the doors outside and shut the doors of your hearts, and talk to God directly and ask Him for the things that that prayer is asking of us. Today is Trinity Sunday. It is a day of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're going to recite the Athanasian Creed in a few moments. The Athanasian Creed is something that is a prayer, is a creed that has been handed down to us over the centuries. It's very important. And as we say it again, for goodness sake, my beloved people, and please understand my emphasis, for goodness sake, let it not be something mechanical. You wonder why I make such emphasis and underline that, because I know that in so many places and in so many people, with so many people, prayer, ceremony, liturgy, whatever is mechanical. And there's no depth in it. We will never gain the notice of God if the best that we can give Him is a machine. We are not machines. We are souls. We are holy souls who are crying out to Him and assuring Him that with each of us all is well. That's the one thing that He is looking for. He is looking for our love. My beloved people, this love that I speak of cannot be overestimated. And be sure that it is correctly interpreted and correctly applied and correctly articulated. This is ever so important. So now, if you will be so kind as to kneel. And if anyone, I think he is it everyone has paper to read from? A As we pray this Athanasian Creed, let us understand what we are saying and that every phrase in it is important. It may seem silly, but it isn't silly when we keep repeating and repeating and repeating. But in order to clarify all possible doubt in anybody's mind, this is being said the way it is. Say it well. Articulate it well. Father is giving out extra prayers if they want one. If anybody needs, Father Francis. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whosoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. Which faith, except everyone do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons, nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as is the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one, and one incomprehensible. So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three Lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Holy Catholic Religion to say there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made, not created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son. neither made, nor created, nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is before or after other. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ, one, not by the conversion of the Godhead into the flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God, one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God is man in one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come again to judge the quick and the dead, at whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies, and shall give account for their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My beloved people, it is good to read that from time to time. Again, I remind you of Corpus Christi. Thursday, I know that all of you cannot be here Thursday, but you can do something of great importance on that day. If nothing else on that day, if you're busy or if you're so busy, you can take time out to say three words and say, I love you. If you can say that from the recesses of your hearts, you have done what is you're required to do. Now, isn't our religion simple? It's so easy. It's so very easy. And yet so awesome, isn't it? That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do, my beloved people.